All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are Locked On Falcons. I am, of course, your host, Aaron Freeman. And today I am joined by Josh Kindo, who covers the Falcons for The Athletic. He's going to be sharing with us his thoughts on the Falcons, their Week 7 win over Miami, as well as whether the team is only scratching the surface for their potential in 2021.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, formerly covering the Falcons for many years over at FalcFans.com, still going strong on Twitter at FalcFans, putting up weekly content over at The Falcoholic, the SB Nation website for the Atlanta Falcons, and of course, the host of this preeminent Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And before we get into it with my guest, Josh Kindo of The Athletic, I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Falcons your first listen of the day. Of course, Locked On Falcons is free and available on all podcast platforms, including Apple, Odyssey, Google, and Spotify, as well as free and available on YouTube. Of course, if you haven't checked us out yet on the Locked On Falcons YouTube channel, make sure you go and hit a like, hit a subscribe, hit that bell icon, give us a comment, all the various things so that we can boost our presence on the YouTube algorithm and grow this listenership, not only in terms of the audio version of the podcast, but also the video version of the podcast. And if you're out there, you know, you're a regular audio listener of the podcast each and every day as your first listen, you can even get an earlier listen by subscribing on YouTube, since those episodes tend to drop a few hours earlier the night before. So incentive there for you guys to subscribe on YouTube and check us out as well. Make sure you give us a rating on iTunes and Apple Podcasts as well. 5 stars, if you will, in addition to that. So that being said, let's sort of jump into the conversation I had with our preeminent guest, Josh Kindo of The Athletic. And he's going to be talking with us, live from the airport on his way back from Miami about the Falcons-Dolphins game. So let's jump into that right now. So guys, you are Locked On Falcons, and I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and we are joined by another preeminent guest here with Josh Kindo, making his first appearance here on the Locked On Falcons podcast. You've been checking out Josh's stuff over at The Athletic. He's been covering the Falcons for the last couple of months. But Josh, my friend, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So Josh, let's get right into it. I know you're at the airport right now, about to get on a flight. So we'll hurry up and get through this, before TSA comes and gets you. But, I want to ask you, who was more impressive to you on Sunday? Was it Matt Ryan or was it Kyle Pitts?
I mean, it's gotta be Kyle Pitts, if nothing else, because he's the new guy. I mean, that's a very Matt Ryan game that we saw. You know, he sort of chalked up another game winning drive, his 40th to tie John Elway, which is not unimpressive, but there was nothing out of the ordinary for Matt there. You know, you had the fumble, you had the interception, which was not his fault, more on Ridley. But Kyle Pitts just continues to take giant stride after giant stride. I think he's the one that everybody's excited about right now, and should be.
Now, you wrote about after the game, Kyle Pitts post-game talked about how he was not – unexcited, I guess you could say, with the Dolphins' decision to go man-heavy in this game. We've known Kyle Pitts is a potential mismatch. That's the reason why he was the number 4 overall selection. We've seen him dominate that man coverage against Miami this past Sunday. We saw him do the same in that first half of that Jets game back in London. Are you sort of expecting this is something that we can continue to see, what we've seen from Kyle Pitts these last 2 weeks where he's been dominant moving forward, or is there an expectation that defenses are going to adjust and now we're going to get to a point in the season where teams are going to be like, we can't let Kyle Pitts beat us and game plan to try to stop him?
Well, they've been kind of game planning to stop him all along, although the Dolphins did not. I was shocked that they stuck with their man so much, especially in that situation at the end of the game, when all Atlanta's got to do is get down there and kick a field goal. I thought they would have mixed it up, and Kyle clearly did too. He is not a very expressive guy with the media. He's very reserved. But when I asked him that question, if he was surprised on that snap to see the man coverage, I mean, his eyes visibly widened. So I think that he was just as surprised as anybody. If I'm a Miami fan, I've got questions for Brian Flores right now. But, you know, on the flip side, what are you going to do with that guy? I mean, he is Kyle Pitts. They drafted him number four for a reason, which is what Arthur Smith said. The guy's really special.
Now, flipping to Matt Ryan, we've seen continuing efficiency from Matt Ryan the last couple of weeks. Is it realistic for us to continue to expect Matt Ryan to play the way he's played the last three or four games, you know, for the next, you know, 10 games?
Absolutely. I think it's realistic. I mean, it's the way Matt Ryan has played for the last, not 14 years, but 10 probably. You've got the AP Offensive Player of the Year season, which was kind of the blip. But, you know, he's never just cratered. This is Matt Ryan. I'm not in the Matt Ryan as the problem camp. I think if they can figure out a way cap-wise to keep it going and his health maintains at his current level, I think Matt Ryan can be a very effective quarterback for this team for several more years, which is another reason I'm in the drafting Pitts was the right decision camp. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's the best thing about Matt Ryan from Arthur Smith's point of view. I mean, he can almost just put in the cassette and know he knows what he's getting on Sunday from Matt Ryan.
So there's more to come, guys, with Josh at Kendall of The Athletic, and we'll get into more of the standouts that he saw in this Falcons-Dolphins game, as well as some of the lingering concerns that he may have about this team, especially if they are on the cusp of vying for playoff contention. But I know when you guys are vying to get home, as we're seeing Josh do, you know, traveling can be tough, especially if you're an Atlanta native and you're stuck in that bumper-to-bumper traffic, and you can wind up burning through a ton of gas. Why not get some cash back so that you can save just a little bit at the pump? And you can do that now with a new app called Get Upside. When you open an account at Get Upside, you get 25 cents back per gallon every time you fill up. Over time, that kind of savings can really add up. People making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back with Get Upside. You not only save, but you have multiple cash out options with direct payment into your bank account. You can get PayPal. You can use it to get gift cards on Amazon and many, many more websites. And now when you open an account and use our special promo code Touchdown with GetUpside, you get a bonus 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents back per gallon. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Download the free GetUpside app and available in the App Store or on Google Play, and use our promo code Touchdown when you sign up. That's GetUpside, promo code Touchdown, to start saving every time you fill up. Who are some of the other standouts to you in this Falcons Dolphins game?
I thought Fabian Moreau played a really good game. He'd been kind of a walking PI all year. Not his fault necessarily. I mean, that's just a tough position to play, and we've seen so many guys trying to get that PI call, and we see so many of those flags. But Fabian stayed aggressive and made three really good pass breakups before he left that game late. What the future of the secondary is something I'm going to dig into for Tuesday. Well, you know, the health back there is not good. They have been bedeviled by injuries. That defense has not been great all year long, no matter who's been back there. I think that bears watching.
What were some of the concerns that you had, you know, besides some of the injuries in the secondary that were on display in this Dolphins game? Are there sort of any lingering questions that you have about this team that weren't necessarily answered this week?
Well, the overall defense is a lingering question, I think. That's not a group that's going to carry all the weight for you. You're going to have to score points. And then on the flip side of that is the inconsistency scoring points. Both Arthur Smith and Matt Ryan said, hey, this is the NFL. That's what you get. You get one-possession games. But we've seen plenty of games. We saw plenty of games Sunday that weren't one-possession games. What we've seen the Falcons do the last 2 weeks against Miami and the Jets is at times move the ball at will and really do whatever they wanted offensively, but not sustain that to the level that they could escape, you know, that they could – you could be 10 points, heavens, 14 points ahead with 4 minutes left and the game really be over. So this is a team that needs to, you know, when it's playing well, needs to keep its foot on the gas, maybe give itself a little breathing room.
So we're going to keep it rolling here with Josh Kendall of The Athletic talking about the Falcons' playoff potential. But before we do that, guys, I want to thank you once more in making Locked On Falcons your first listen of the day. We talked about the potential of the Falcons pulling off some exciting trades, maybe you could say, on Friday's episode of Locked On Falcons. But we're not the only show on the network talking about the upcoming NFL trade deadline. And you guys can check out the NFL trade deadline show and get the reactions to every move, plus a look ahead to the second half of the NFL season and much more. Catch the show live from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on November 2nd on the Locked On NFL YouTube page. So football season is in full swing, and as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. But with a new updated website and interface and even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today with the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. The Falcons open up as 2.5-point favorites at home against Carolina this week. And of course, the Atlanta Braves open up as 1.5-point run underdogs on the road versus the Houston Astros on Tuesday. And whether you like those bets or not, BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, baseball, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the amazing offers available at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Today's episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. With ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why wait while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer when you already have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home or in your pocket? Save time and money when using Rock Auto. You'll spend up to twice as much for the same parts when you order from a chain store or car dealership. Meanwhile, Rock Auto's prices are always reliably low for every customer. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They have everything you need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy to use website yourself today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Now, my last big topic I want to discuss, Josh, is something that you wrote about this past week. It was something I discussed on yesterday's episode, talking about the Falcons' win. And you wrote about how the Falcons are a potential playoff contender. And you indicated in that article from last week that the answer is probably no. But, you know, I basically agree with that assessment. But certainly they have some winnable games over the next month. They're going up against some quality defenses, at least based off of how some of these teams like Carolina, New Orleans, Dallas, and New England have performed through the first, you know, 6-7 weeks of the season. But basically what I said on yesterday's episode was, if we can get this version of the Falcons offense that we saw against Miami, and being that dynamic and explosive offense, and they can show up against some of the better quality defenses and obviously start winning some of these games over the next month, it will certainly be an easier narrative to buy that the Falcons are a potential playoff contender. So I guess, you know, after Sunday's performance, where do you sort of stand on the Falcons' playoff potential?
I mean, yes, this team can make the playoffs. I'm still in the probably no category because, that you know, all the issues that they had coming into the season are still issues. But you're right. If they can score points at this rate, they give themselves a chance. They had to win that game against Miami. They need to beat a Panthers team that's struggling. You know, the Dallas game, the Buffalo game, the San Francisco game on the road, although San Francisco doesn't look great. You know, there are a few games in here that are going to be tough nuts to crack. But there are a lot of games that are up in the balance, and they've got to win those. That's why that margin for error that I talked about, they can't take it down to the fourth quarter every time. If they're playing well offensively, they've got to put some of these games away, because if they can get to 8-9, you know, we haven't seen the 17-game schedule, now we've got the third wild card. Yeah, 8-9 might do it. 9-8 probably would do it. Can this team get to 8-9? Yes, I think they can.
Now, you talked about sort of that thin margin for error. Is that the biggest obstacle that they ever come? Is it the defense needing to step up? What is sort of the biggest obstacle that you look forward, moving forward this season, to see this team, if they can check this box, then they certainly have the potential to be a playoff team.
The defense, especially with the secondary health. I mean, that would provide some margin too, if the defense didn't give up 14 points in the fourth quarter, 21 points in the fourth quarter, that kind of thing. So I think that defense has got to play better, which might be difficult in the short term with a banged up secondary.
Okay. Well, Josh, I appreciate you joining me. I hope you have a safe travels here. But let the listeners know where they can find your stuff and what are other things that you want to plug.
Joe, come to the Athletic. We'd love to have you. I think we do a good product, not just with the Falcons, but with everything else in Atlanta and across the globe, really. We've got pretty much everything. So come join us. I appreciate you having me here.
No problem, Josh. I look forward to chatting you, you know, maybe a couple of weeks from now where we can maybe potentially see what this Falcon team has made itself to be. And maybe if that, when I ask you the question about is this team a playoff team, maybe the answer will be probably yes. So, Josh, I definitely appreciate you joining me here on today's Locked On Falcons.
Thanks for having me.
So, guys, there you have it with Josh Kendall of The Athletic. We want to thank him for joining us on today's episode. And we'll close out today's Locked On Falcons, wrapping you guys up on a little bit of the news. The Falcons did activate offensive tackle Caleb McGarry off their COVID reserve list on Monday. So basically we got a week of him on that list due to his vaccination status being, you know, he was vaxxed up. So we won't necessarily have to deal with players being on the COVID reserve list for extended period of times, at least theoretically speaking. And so that probably means that Caleb McGarry will be starting this week against Carolina and going toe-to-toe against one of his nemesis, that's Brian Burns, the Panthers edge rusher. They also will be facing off against Hassan Reddick, the new Panthers pass rusher. And this weekend's game is going to represent another great litmus test to sort of see how much progress Caleb McGarry has shown in his short career, given that he has had his fair share of struggles against Brian Burns. Burns is one of those players that you could argue is sort of the perfectly constructed pass rusher, I guess you would say, in terms of the guy that would give Caleb McGarry the most problems due to that speed being a mismatch for Caleb McGarry on the edge, coupling that as well with Burns's length, giving Caleb McGarry shorter arms. It's just a bad combination, and we've seen that exploited time and time again in previous outings between the Falcons and Panthers. But the good thing, you know, for Caleb McGarry is that he shouldn't necessarily be on an island against Brian Burns in this upcoming matchup, given that Carolina likes to flip Burns and Reddick to play them guys on both sides of the line, with about roughly half of their snaps playing on either the left or the right side. And of course, when we get into those passing situations, certainly the Falcons could do a lot to support McGarry against some of these speed rushers by, you know, giving him some help with some chips and whatnot in that regard. The other positive thing is that when he's facing against Hassan Reddick, who also is an explosive guy that wins with speed off the edge, you know, Reddick has not been that impactful over the last month since that hot start for the Carolina defense. When you look at, you know, Reddick's production in the first three games of the season, when Carolina was off to that 3-0 start, Reddick was tallied with 4.5 sacks and 13 pressures, according to Pro Football Focus. And in the four games since, he's only had 2 sacks and 3 pressures. And basically outside of those 2 sacks he had in that Eagles game in week 5, basically that's telling you that he's been a non-factor. So certainly going to be a challenge for Caleb McGarry in his first game back, but we'll see how well he does. So that's definitely going to be a battle to watch this upcoming weekend. In week 8, to make room for Caleb McGarry, the Falcons did cut cornerback TJ Green, which is kind of funny. Not necessarily funny because TJ Green got cut. You know, you don't necessarily wish for anybody to lose their jobs. But it was funny because a listener sent in a question on Sunday basically asking me why I thought TJ Green continued to get as much playing time and continue to hold a roster spot. So, you know, that listener basically had to wait a little less than 24 hours before the Falcons decided to rectify that situation. And essentially, I think the reason why TJ Green continues to get a lot of run is because the Falcons don't really have better alternative options. They don't really have other outside corners. That's not Darren Hall. That's not Avery Williams. It's basically Chris Williamson and Kendall Sheffield. And I don't think the team loves Kendall Sheffield at this point, given how limited amount of action he got in the preseason. And truth be told, he may not necessarily have a full grasp on this defense. When you couple that with the fact that Kendall Sheffield historically has been a very poor zone coverage cornerback, and this team likes to rely heavily on zone coverage as a way to, you know, facilitate their defense. And so that's not a great match for Kendall Sheffield, even if he is a significantly more talented player than TJ Green. And then you couple that with Chris Williamson, who we saw fully on display in the Miami game, but we saw consistently throughout the summer that, you know, wide receivers get easy separation when Chris Williamson is covering them. So like it or not, TJ Green has kind of been the Falcons' best option. Now, you know, Green has struggled. Certainly we saw that on display with the whiff tackle against Myles Gaskin that led to a touchdown late in that game. you know, no real defense of TJ Green's performance, but I think part of you got to factor in TJ Green's not really a cornerback, guys. He, you know, he was a safety in college. The Colts tried him as a cornerback early in his career. It did not go well. And then they were like, okay, well, no, let's move him back to safety. And because he's not necessarily a high level safety, he wasn't necessarily able to stick in Indianapolis in that role, despite being a high draft pick for them. And so the Falcons are kind of square pegging TJ Green. So I can't be too critical of TJ Green basically not being a good corner, because he's not a good corner. He's a safety, right? You know, he's probably a middling safety, but at least that's a better than being a bad corner, right? So, you know, I think probably the real reason why the Falcons decided to move on from TJ Green is probably related to special teams. I know in that Jets game, particularly, a lot of the issues that he had in that game were on special teams. He was kind of the guy that I thought was out of his lane on that big Tevin Coleman kickoff return in that game. And then there was a play earlier in that game where he nearly ran into or he did run into Avery Williams and led to a muff on a punt return. I believe that was a Jets game. Maybe I'm confusing that with the Washington game. But there's been a couple of TJ Green-related miscues on special teams, and I think that's probably the main reason why the Falcons decided to part ways with him now, largely due to the fact that I think the Falcons probably feel good about some of their alternative options. They've been kind of shuffling around their gunner and personal protector on the punt team the last couple of weeks. Some of that, I think, is owed to the Falcons not wanting to have Cordero Patterson be their gunner anymore, given his value on offense. They've dialed back his gunner snaps over the last three or so games. Olamide Zaccheaus, who started out the season opposite Patterson as the team's primary gunner, has also seen his snaps dialed back, although he was back in that role on Sunday against Miami, and largely part probably related to Russell Gage and Calvin Ridley being able to come back in that role. And we'll see sort of what Avery Williams, he's played as a gunner as well as a personal protector. Daron Harmon was a personal protector against Miami prior to Williams. I think Williams was the two previous games, and Eric Harris was the first like three or so games of the season. So it feels like the Falcons are kind of shuffling guys around. Christian Blake's got some gunner snaps. Kendall Sheffield's got some gunner snaps. He had some in that London game. So I think the Falcons are kind of shuffling around their lineup a little bit, trying to figure out who's sort of the ideal options in several of these roles on special teams as they try to figure some of those things out, particularly on the punt team. And so I think, you know, my suspicion is that Green was cut because the Falcons feel pretty good about some of the alternative options, with Williams presumably coming back, with Zaccheaus now in that role, you know, assuming the Falcons wide receiver position stays healthy. So the Falcons seemingly have some alternative options, particularly at the gunner position, where Green has spent the bulk of his coverage unit snaps on, at least on the punt team, these last couple of weeks. So, you know, my suspicion is that we will see TJ Green return to the practice squad, where the Falcons did pick up Luther Kirk, a safety that they worked out last week, and cut Elliott Fry. You know, basically they're just going to keep cutting Elliott Fry whenever they need a practice squad spot available. And then when they cut somebody else, they'll bring back Elliott Fry. As someone joked, I think last week, you know, Elliott Fry is the John Wetzel of the 2021 Falcons, which is the guy that they constantly cut and bring back basically every other week, which was the case with John Wetzel, was that in the 2019 season, I think it was, or 2020. So we'll see what happens with TJ Green, but I don't think TJ Green's time in Atlanta is probably over at this point in time, despite maybe some of the concerns that a lot of people, including that particular listener, raised. But speaking of raising concerns that you want to have addressed on a future episodes of the podcast, tomorrow we will have a Q&A as well as the All 22 review. So you can basically do the same thing as that listener did and submit his or her, or your question on Twitter at Locked On Falcons is the place to submit it there. Of course, Locked On Falcons is the place on Facebook, or you can send an email to lockedonfalcons@mail.com. Or guess what? You guys watching this right now on YouTube, you know, another way that you can do so is leave a comment here on YouTube, and I will try to do my best to answer on potentially tomorrow's episode. So Q&A tomorrow, All 22 review tomorrow. Some of the topics I do want to get into, or at least I want to focus on when I do get the chance to review the film on Tuesday morning, is going to be, you know, why Miami did in the second half of that game to slow down Matt Ryan after a very, very hot start that he had, at least through the first drive of the third quarter, as well as looking at some of the trench play to see some of the things that the Falcons did or did not do in the trenches, whether it was successful or unsuccessful in that regard, which is the things that you constantly focus on. So that will be on deck for tomorrow's episode. And in the meantime, guys, I always give you guys recommendations for what you should be your second listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, check out Locked On Braves, Locked On Hawks as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. But also got to plug the Peacock and Williamson podcast, which gives you that daily coverage of all 32 NFL teams, not just the Falcons, on the Locked On Podcast Network. You get analysis from NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson. Of course, Peacock and Williamson is free and available on all podcast platforms, including Apple, Odyssey, Google, and Spotify. Guys, I appreciate you for tuning in for another episode of Locked On Falcons. We'll be back tomorrow with an all 22 review and question and answer mailbag. Until then.